Introduction. We thought we knew him, but we didn't, and that was how he wished it. He wore high-heeled boots and a top hat to disguise his lack of size, and he talked and wrote volumes in an effort to construct a life that stood taller than his own. His biographers have taken as their framework the account he provided in his memoirs, but the autobiography of Andrew Carnegie, written and rewritten over decades, then rearranged and rewritten again by an editor chosen by his wife, Louise, offers only a partial account of selected incidents. There are errors of omission, errors of chronology, and attempts, by author or editor, to mislead. My account of Carnegie's life leaves out several of the familiar stories told in the autobiography and retold by his biographers because I could not independently confirm their validity. Carnegie's first biographer, Burton J. Hendrick, was specially chosen by Louise Carnegie to write her husband's life. Hendrick was paid as a Carnegie employee. He received no royalties for his work, and agreed that should his biography not be to Mrs. Carnegie's liking, it would not be published. Carnegie's next major biographer, Joseph Wall, added an enormous amount to the story of Carnegie's success as a steelmaker, but he lacked the sources to veer off the path set by the autobiography and by Hendrick. In the half-century since Wall began his research, new archival sources have been opened and electronic finding aids have made it possible to locate previously unavailable ones. The raw material out of which this biography is fashioned was discovered in public and university archives, government documents, and privately held family papers in England, Scotland, Wales, and the United States. It includes material on the Carnegie family's arrival in Dunfermline, unpublished oral histories taken in Scotland by Burton Hendrick.